Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we could look unto you today, Lord. You are the author, the finisher of our faith. I thank you, though we grow weary, though at times it might seem hard, we can always look to you. We can wait upon the Lord. Our strength can be renewed. We can run, Lord. We can mount up like wings of eagles because of who you are, Lord. I pray for all of us this morning. I pray for anyone that might listen to this message, that they would be encouraged, Lord, that they would be lifted out of weariness, out of toil, Lord, out of distractions, out of just being weighed down by the cares of this life, Lord. I pray that your word would lift us up out of that place, Lord, and renew our strength this morning, renew our vision, our goal, the reason for our faith this morning, Lord. So I pray as we look to your word this morning, you would speak to us. You would give each one of us what we need during this time that we are living in, Lord. We need you more than ever. We need to be led and guided by your word and by the Holy Spirit. We need your power. We need your grace, God, to run this race that is set before us. So God, speak to us. Open our hearts to your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want, you could turn to 1 Corinthians 9. This is going to kind of be where I'm preaching from, but I'm just warning you now, I'm going to be kind of all over the place this morning. And this message really was birthed out of something God was dealing with me in the natural, but what I come to understand is usually tied into my spiritual life. And, you know, I'll just be honest with you, there was many years there where God was dealing with me about my health and taking care of myself and, you know, being overweight. And, you know, after a while, that stuff starts catching up with you. You go to the doctor and all of a sudden you're having problems and medical issues start arising. So probably about 4 or 5 months ago, God gave me a wake-up call. And I'll just say this, you know, I was praying, God, you got to help me with this. You know, I need strength. God, help me to resist this temptation to eat whatever I want, Lord. And God, you got to help me get up and exercise. God, please help me. I was begging God, and I was trying. How many times? I said, tomorrow, I'm doing it. I was trying, but it wasn't working until God answered my prayer in a way that I wasn't kind of expecting. And it was interesting that he showed me that it really wasn't about me. It was about him and honoring him and doing those things that please him. And it was really for other people. And he used my wife to really show me how much I still loved myself, and that in spite of all the warnings, in spite of all the doctors was telling me, I was going to eat and do what I wanted to do. Even though my wife at times would be crying, honey, please take care of yourself. I care about you. I don't want anything to happen to you. And God reminded me of that one morning in my prayer time, and basically the conviction was, you don't really love Rose. You love food more than you love your wife. You're willing to eat whatever you want, even though you know it grieves her and she's worried about you. And then, you know, more than that, it grieves the heart of God. It wasn't pleasing to God that I wasn't being a good steward. I wasn't being a good testimony to those around me. So it totally became about God, honoring God, and for others. And it was at that point I realized I was going to need a plan, that just talking about it wasn't going to work. I had to be intentional about changing. And we're going to see this is very much tied into our spiritual lives. And more than any other time, I feel like in my life, with what's going on in the world, God is trying to help us, his people, to start getting intentional about pursuing him, intentional about our spiritual lives, because we're going to need it. We're not going to be able to endure, run the race that is set before us if we're not training now, if we're not allowing God to help us now to get spiritually fit, as it were. And Paul, in this verse, is kind of alluding to that, and he does this comparison here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, and he says these words, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may be able to obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." I could say self-controlled, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, talking about in the natural, he says, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. You know, we think about the Olympics. We think about teams that win titles, right? They get a crown. They get a trophy. They get something that says, hey, you were the best. You achieved your goal. Here's your prize. They do it. They train. They put themselves through all kinds of things to obtain that prize. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not like someone who's beating the air. In other words, my spiritual life, what I do to pursue God, it's not in vain. It's not like the things of this world. It's going to last into all of eternity. It's going to follow me into eternity. It's preparing me for eternity. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That's another thing that was kind of convicting me. It's like, okay, how do I counsel someone in my counseling office? Hey, you need to have self-control. And then I go home and stuff my face with something that I know I shouldn't be doing and just have no self-control in an area of my life. No, I need to bring my body, I need to bring my spirit under subjection to God, lest what I'm telling you, you know, disqualifies me. I'm almost double accountable. If I'm telling you to do something, then I'm not doing it. That's something I take very, very seriously. Then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says this at the end of his life, again, depicting his spiritual life like a guy running a race. This is at the end of his life. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So again, to me, that's a picture of enduring. It's a picture of running my race, being faithful with what God has given to me. So faith here is depicted as a race. There's a determined end. There's a goal. There's a prize at the end. But it's not what the world offers us, a temporary, you know, fading glory that fades away into the dust. It's an eternal weight of glory. And this is it. This is the prize which Paul talks about in Philippians 3. Verse 10, he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And he says, not that I've already attained in verse 12 or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Again, we see this idea of enduring, pressing forward, going forward. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal. That doesn't sound inactive to me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul had a great aim or purpose in life, and he was very intentional about it. And he says, you know, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. So one thing to secure that prize, I renounce everything. I leave everything behind because there's only one great object I have in view. He had an encounter with God that affected his whole life. It changed everything in his life that he was pursuing before. And now his whole goal in life was to pursue to know Christ and to be conformed into his image. That should be our pursuit. His heart's cry was basically, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, in that newness of life. I'll call it this, from corruption to glorification. From corruption to glorification. Romans 8 talks about this. I'm just going to share some scriptures here in the beginning, and then I'm going to just get very practical with you, okay? So Romans 8, again, describes this. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected in futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, the goal, the prize. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. So why does one hope in what someone still sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And then lastly, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we are going to be like him. For we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. In other words, they're intentional. They're intentional because they have this hope. They have this groaning that Romans 8 talks about. Who here wants to be like Jesus? Right? Who wants to be like? Nobody? All right. If we're Christians, we should want to be like Jesus. That should be the groaning in our heart. Lord, I just want to be like you. I just want to know you in the power of your resurrection. I know it's the groaning of my heart more and more. Well, God has a way of producing that in us. It was interesting last week. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this whole idea of running the race, and Rose shot me an email of the newsletter she had made up for Lighthouse, and it was exactly on that. And I'm just going to share a couple of things that she wrote in there. She wrote, over the past several months, we have all felt the effects of this global pandemic. Likewise, we've witnessed chaos, violence, lawlessness like never before. And it can be so easy to get bogged down or lose sight of why we're running, lose sight of the goal, of the prize. We can get bogged down with headlines, social media posts, YouTube videos that are circulating right now. But Jesus told his disciples this, take heed to yourselves. Because of the cares of this life can weigh us down. They can choke the word of God in us. This is such a common theme for people that come to us in that counseling office. They're weighed down. They've lost sight of the gospel. They have no hope. They've been overwhelmed by life and their problems. They're far from running the race. They're on the sidelines. They're not running. And so it's a common theme. Everyday life issues seem more real than the unseen realm that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The call to continue to persevere in hope is difficult for many that come to us for help. Their situation seems hopeless. I felt that way. I'll just be honest with you, with getting in shape and eating and all that, I just felt like this is just too hard. You know, I'll do my best. We can be like that with our Christianity. Like, this is just too hard. You know what? I'm good. I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm doing better than that guy. But what we don't realize is a lot of us, really, we're couch potatoes spiritually. And we compare ourselves with one another. But yet, Paul describes like being in top form and running like you're going to win. That's not a picture of, you know, just sitting back and just kind of half-heartedly trying to do this. But, you know, we get bogged down. But the blessing for us is each opportunity or each counseling session is an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel, to help them identify the weights, the sins that's so easily ensnaring them. We're able to teach them how to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So with Christ as their focus, they can keep running their race with endurance, knowing that their race is not in vain. So that's really what I want to talk about. And I read a book years ago by a guy named Wade Hodges. It was when I got into CrossFit, and it was written by a CrossFit. I don't know if most of you know what that is. It's just like crazy intense exercise. It's for crazy people. But he was a pastor, and he wrote it with the whole idea of training for something greater. I think that was the name of the book. So a lot of what I share will come from that. But this is what I want to say to you, okay? Part of what God is trying to do or is doing, it really does depend on we responding to it. He's trying to help us get off the couch. We don't realize it. We've been on the couch. We have become spiritually weak. We have allowed our lives, this world, to really sap our spiritual vitality. We don't realize just how out of shape we are spiritually, but you know, trials, what's going on in the world right now, when this COVID thing started, it really was a wake-up call. I know for us, it really has been a wake-up call, like, man, what am I doing? What has my focus been on? Man, I need to get back where I need to be with God. I need to get my focus on the things that are more important. I've gotten lazy. And God keeps pressing that more and more and more. And I believe it, for me, it was tied in with my physical bout. Those things do tie together. They just do. I'll just tell you, any progress I've made physically, it's God's grace that has helped me. But I've had to be intentional. I've had to be very intentional. And that's what we're going to see here, because we're in training. We are in training, people. And the prize isn't, oh, I'll look better, my clothes will fit me, you know, I'll go to my doctor and he won't read me the riot act. No, the goal is, first and foremost, I'll do those things that are pleasing to him. I'll glorify him. I'll be useful for him so he can use my life for other people. Because if I'm not fit spiritually, I'm of no use to him. I'm supposed to be set aside, a vessel fit for the master's use. I have to let God get this vessel at a place where he can use me, where I know how to walk with him, where I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. That is his goal, Christ-likeness, to be conformed into his image. That's what God wants to do. He wants little Christ walking all over the earth. That's what Christian means, little Christ. We're to be little Christ walking around. Well, that doesn't just happen by osmosis. There is a participation that we have to enter into with God. So, how do I train to be like Jesus? Again, it's not like, remember the thing, what would Jesus do? And everyone had a little band they would put on their hand. Is that the answer? Just go through life saying, okay, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Or is it more than that? I mean, we should ask ourselves that, but it's not just that. It's not the result of just asking, what would Jesus do every time we face a difficult situation? Okay? The beginning of it is first and foremost an invitation from Jesus to follow him. So there's a call, follow me. And there's conditions with that. Paul says in another place, we compete according to the rules. So first of all, you have to lose your life. You have to deny yourself. You have to forsake your life in this world. Pick up your cross and follow him. So again, I have to offer my life to him. I have to give my vessel to him. I have to surrender everything to him. I have to give up the rights. I can't just do what I want to do. It's all about what he wants if I want to follow him. He's a good trainer. If I had someone, let's say I won a gold medal in the Olympics and I had some young kids, I want to do what you did. Can I train under you? Sure. You can train under me, but this is what it's going to be like. You see your friends going out to play? You can't do that. I know you like to sleep in the morning, but you can't do that. You will be up at 5 in the morning. We will run 20 miles. We will do this. I will expect you at every practice, at every training, blah, blah, blah. This is what you will eat, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Okay, then you can't follow me. You can't walk in my steps then. You have to go where I go. You have to do what I do. There's a price. Count the cost. This will be hard. Because if you don't understand it in the beginning, you'll just give up. It'll just be too hard. So it begins with an invitation. We do it for earthly things, don't we? You think about what people go through to attain things in this earthly life. It's kind of like, you know, if I want to go run a marathon, I don't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to run this marathon. I'm going to run 26 miles. Good luck. It's just not going to happen. Trying to be like Christ instead of being intentional to be like Christ are two different things. Again, it's like waking up one day and just saying, I'm going to be like Jesus today. Good luck. How about I'm going to train to be like Jesus? We're going to see what that looks like in a minute. I'm going to give you some practical things to look at. But I want you to think about this. Think about all the money that people spend on sports to go watch a team, or sometimes they'll go just to see a certain person, you know, like when Michael Jordan was playing, whatever, because to watch them is like phenomenal. It's almost like, how do they do that? You know, you watch some of these guys and it just looks like it just comes natural for them. And if you ask those guys, like, how do you do that? They'll tell you, like, I don't really think about it. It just kind of happens from what I do in my training time. It just kind of clicks in. So it's all those hours of training, 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 training. And then when they get on the court, yeah, they don't have to think about it because it's already there. It's just like, you know, a police officer or someone. They train, 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 train. So when they get into the situation, they don't have to think about it. It's just there. It's the same way with Christ-likeness. If we're pursuing God, and again, we're going to look at this, and training, 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 when we get in those difficult situations, when we get in a situation with a person, we don't know how to react, whatever, because we've been with Jesus, because we've been training with Jesus, when we get in that difficult situation, it's just going to be there. You won't have to think about it. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll give you the grace, whatever you need in that situation, because he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything we need. So, most of us, most Christians want to get into better spiritual shape, yes? Right? All right, I do. We want to be a certain kind of person, right? We want to be capable of responding to the unknown like Jesus would. And we're going to need this in the days to come. We're going to need to know how to respond, how to be like Jesus more than ever in the days we're heading into. So when we say we want to be like Jesus, this is what we're saying. We're saying we want to live a holy life. We're saying we want to live a life that is steeped in prayer. We're saying we want to live a life that is rooted in the Word of God. We're saying we want to be guided and filled by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're saying we want to live a life of compassion where we get involved in the lives of other people. And we're saying we want to be infused daily with an awareness of God's presence with us, moment by moment. Because that's how Jesus walked and lived on this earth. So for us, what does that look like? What does spiritual fitness look like for us? Just a few things. A life of prayer. If we want to get spiritually fit, we need to have a life of prayer. Jesus had a life of prayer. We see it all throughout the Gospels. Many times, Jesus was removing himself from the crowds, going out to a solitary place to be with his Father, to pray to the Father. He encouraged his disciples to pray. So prayer is vital. We need a life of prayer. We need a life of holiness. In other words, a life set apart for the will of God. Hebrews 10 talks about Jesus saying, a body you have prepared for me to do your will, O God. It's a picture of, like, in the Old Testament, where the holy things, the things in the temple which were used for God's service, had to be cleansed and purified. They were made holy to be used in God's service. So we're told in the scriptures to be holy as he was holy. So we need to have a holy life. We need a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. We should be daily seeking God, knocking, asking for the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs the Holy Spirit. Not just for salvation, but also for empowerment, for service. We all need a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We all need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live this Christian life. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And again, a life of compassion, entering into the life of another. Jesus was constantly entering into the life of another, and a life centered on the Word of God. I thought about Jesus in the wilderness. All the temptations that came on him, his response was, "Thus saith the Lord, God has said." He was the Word of God made flesh. So a life centered in the Word of God. So the exercising comes when we get up in the morning and we pray, because prayer trains us in how to connect with God. So that's how we exercise. We learn, we pray, we learn to make our requests made known, but we also learn how to listen to God and to hear his voice and to let him speak to us through his word. Fasting. Jesus spoke a lot about fasting. It doesn't just have to be food. We can fast. We can deny ourselves things, just like an athlete has to deny himself some things because it's good. It helps him to discipline his body, bring it under subjection. It helps us say no to unhealthy spiritual cravings. Service. In other words, look for ways to serve. Look for ways to get out of yourself and to get involved in the needs of others. Bible study, Bible meditation. We need to be daily training in Bible study, in Bible meditation, Bible memorization. Otherwise, when that time comes, the Word of God won't be there when you need it. So we need to be exercising ourselves in Bible study. We need to learn how to endure pain and suffering. I'll tell you, that's one of the hardest things in just regular exercise. I've gotten to the point where, you know, I've been running now, and I'll start running, and that first half a mile, everything in me saying, "I don't want to do this. This is too hard. I can't breathe." But I know in a little while, I'm going to get my rhythm. I'm going to start breathing a little easier. I'm going to get past this wall. But I don't learn that if I quit when it gets painful. And we see in Scripture that pain, trials, suffering, what do they produce? Endurance, right? So we can't avoid hard things. We cannot go through life avoiding difficult situations, trying to get out of the fire or the trials that God has allowed into our lives, because he's trying to train us. He's trying to teach us to have faith, to look to him in the trial, in the suffering, to know that even though I'm weary, even though I grow weary and tired, if I'll wait upon the Lord, if I'll trust him, if I'll believe in his grace, in the power of his Holy Spirit, he's going to give me the strength to go on. I'm going to get a second wind. I'm always thinking of that now when I'm running, and I'm always, believe me, asking Jesus to help me. Jesus, help me. Help me finish. He does. Pain and suffering. Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. That word character is so lacking in so many today. You know what character is? It's a weightiness, a spiritual weightiness in someone's life. I'll say it this way. It's the difference between being solid and empty. Solid, firm, immovable character. Empty, light, blown over by any wind or wave. Character, weightiness. That's what God wants to produce in us. Perseverance, character, and from character, hope. And then lastly, fellowship. When I work out with someone else, I always work out harder, especially Josh Witten. If you want to work out hard, work out with Josh Witten. I finished working out with him, and I'm like, man, everything hurts. But there's something about having someone saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, you got one more in there. Don't quit. We need that. And then iron sharpens iron as well. You know what I mean? We need one another. Fellowship trains us. It trains us in the art of forgiveness. It trains us in the art of extending grace to people who drive us crazy. You know what I mean? We can't avoid that. It's how we grow. It's how we train with one another. Let us consider one another, Hebrews 10:24, in order to stir up love, good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Come on, you can do it. Come on, keep running. Get your eyes on Jesus. Let's remember why we're doing this. Encouraging one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And then lastly, well, let me just say this. Some people get it backwards. They think that if I just do that, if I just do church, I'm good. If I just go to church once a week, I'm going to be spiritually healthy. That's like the guy that goes to the gym 2 or 3 times a week and eats like a slob the rest of the week. And he thinks he's going to get in shape. It doesn't work because like 80 to 90% of it is eating. And we think, oh, if I just go to church, but the rest of the week, I'm sloppy spiritually. I'm feeding myself with all the wrong things that I'm going to be spiritually healthy. It's not going to happen. You ever hear the phrase, you are what you eat, or what goes in, something like that? Same thing spiritually. You are what you eat. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you are what you eat. And then the last one is one I have a hard time with. Josh said something to me before I started. He goes, you're always moving around. You're always, yeah, that's me. I told him, I said, I got issues. And my, Rose is like, she's watching me train and run and, you know, I'm going to get healthy. She's like, hun, you need to take a break. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm so tired. You know, my leg's hurting. It's like, hun, you need to take a break. But in my mind, no, more is better. More is better. I got to keep doing this. If I rest, I'm just going to get flabby in one day. You know, no, I can't rest. I got to push myself. No, rest is actually really good for you. God rested on the seventh day, and in that, he showed us a pattern. And we as Christians have forgotten that Sabbath day rest that we need. We need a break from this world. We need a break from our jobs. We need a break from social media. We need a break from all the distractions. We need a day that we set aside to rest. We need that spiritually as well. We can't keep going, 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 going. I've learned that in ministry. I can't go, 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 go. I will burn out. I will have nothing for anybody. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength. There is a time when we need to rest. You can't just train all the time. That's actually part of training, resting, getting enough sleep. And we have to do that spiritually as well. Now, I'm going to finish with this because I started out the talk telling you kind of what motivated me. It was really for the sake of others. Remember it back, well, no, you don't remember, but back in World War II, they would put out these movies that people would go watch in the movie theaters and stuff, and they were called Why We Fight. If we don't understand why we're fighting, if we don't understand why we're running, why we're doing all this training, what's the point? So we understand the prize, right? We're believers. We understand we're not running in vain. There's a prize. This suffering, this light affliction, it's going to pass, and it's going to seem like nothing to the glory that's going to be revealed. So our hope is that, listen, yeah, I might suffer here. It might be hard here, but I know where I'm heading. I know where my hope is. But while I'm here, the reason I'm fighting, the reason why I want to be in top spiritual fitness is I want to be useful. Especially when it gets hard, I want to be able to run with all my might. I want to be able to use by God for his maximum glory, because what I am doing is for other people. If I don't take care of myself as your pastor, I'm no good for you. I'm no good for my wife. So part of what I'm doing, it's for you. It's for her, but mostly it's to honor God. It's so that I'm a good steward and I'm useful to him. I'm not tired. I'm not foggy. I could read the Bible again. I'm not tired and out of it all the time. It affects you. There's a powerful story, and I've seen this. It's a documentary on, I think it was on HBO, called Band of Brothers. And I've seen this scene, and it's very powerful. These guys, they were the 101st Airborne Division in World War II. And this series kind of takes you through what they went through, basically from basic training all the way through to the end of the war. And throughout the series, they're questioning, like, what? Why are we doing this? Man, is this really worth it? You know, because they went through a lot. The training, the boot camp, and then all the hardships of warfare, but the whole thing, Band of Brothers, it's the camaraderie, it's what they went through together, and you know, why are we doing this? And in the end, they found out why. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Was this a waste of time in our lives? So near the end, they discover a concentration camp just outside of a German village. The camp guards have abandoned their posts. They have left the emaciated prisoners to die. They liberate the prisoners. They force the citizens of the nearby village to bury the dead. The camp's existence is the answer to their prayers. This is why we're here. This is why we've made these sacrifices. This is why we fight. They were there for the others that couldn't fight for themselves. Someday, this reason will be revealed, and we will know why we train, why we pursue Christ, why we seek to know him in the power of his resurrection, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be ready in season and out of season for whatever is going to come our way. Someday we'll know. We'll be better, stronger than we are now. All this we're going through right now, capable of a deeper love. I know I need that. More courage, ready to exercise more faith, able to show more grace than you have now, than I have now. Ready for more than anything than you are right now. Be strong and be useful for the sake of others. So this is why we train. This is why we run with endurance the race that is set before us. So I'll end with this scripture I started with in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 23, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? dear ones, run in such a way that you may be able to obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. We got to put away the distraction. We got to put away the weights, the snares, the cares of this life. We got to get focused. We got to get intentional about what we're training for. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. I was running yesterday, and my foot was killing me, and it dawned on me, I'm not going to be able to do this forever. I'm getting older, the joints or whatever, and my foot was hurting so bad, it was like the Lord said, is it okay with you if you could just walk? I said, you know what, Lord? It's fine. Because it really doesn't mean that much. You understand? I'm not going to make that my goal in life. Oh, I'm going to run this far. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't know what could happen tomorrow. We're not guaranteed nothing in this life. So, you know, Paul says bodily exercise, it profits little. But exercise yourself unto godliness. We do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And in the end, let this be our testimony, okay? I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So let's be intentional about our spiritual condition and the race we're running. Lord, I thank you this morning. You're helping us, just like you helped me physically and spiritually. You're helping us. All these things going on, all this craziness that's going on around us, you're waking us up. You're telling us to get off the couch, to get back in the race, to exercise ourselves towards godliness. First and foremost, Lord, so that we'll know you. We'll be caught up with you in a greater way, Lord. We'll know you. And we'll also know you in the power of your resurrection. Your life will manifest itself through these bodies and will be useful to you in the earth, Lord. We'll be able to rescue those that are in prison right now, just like those in the concentration camps that couldn't help themselves. There's many out there, they can't help themselves. They're lost, they're blind. They don't even know they're in prison. But Lord, you're gonna send us as liberators. You are sending us as liberators. So God, help us. Remind us what we're training for. Remind us of what we're running for. And help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.